That's a big story happening today in Chicago. Of course, you're listening to The Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right now on 720 WGN. A big story happening in Chicago is this whistleblower lawsuit that was moving forward. Chicago police officers, two Chicago police officers, who ended up working against other Chicago police officers who were involved in criminal activity, were returned to their jobs, but then said that they were returned to jobs that weren't the same jobs that they were on before and treated totally differently by the Chicago Police Department after they turned in some crooked cops.
Right. They were being threatened and told that there would be no backup for anything they get involved with. They were shifted around in jobs and time slots.
One is a woman, Shannon Spaulding, and the other is a guy, Daniel Echeverria. And they said they were threatened on the job, and so they sued the city. And in this lawsuit, the mayor, just last week, the judge ruled that the mayor of Chicago would be compelled to testify on his knowledge about a code of silence among the Chicago Police Department officials and patrolmen.
Something he had already acknowledged before the city council talked about a code of silence within the police department.
So they were going to ask him to say, well, what did you know and when did you know it? And then next thing you know, today, right as they were about to do jury selection in this lawsuit, a $2 million settlement came down the pike from the city of Chicago to both of those officers. They took the settlement, and now that is a settled case. Sergeant Pete, who's been on with us a number of times in the past, is a longtime Chicago police officer who worked on the street, also in gang crimes and in internal affairs. Now, I know that you're intimately familiar with this particular case. You know what? Before we even get started on what happened today, let's go back and set up. These two officers basically turned on a gang or a drug organization and cops that were part of that, right?
Really what happened was that during the course of an investigation, a joint investigation task force with the FBI, they discovered that some of the people the FBI were going after were policemen who the FBI didn't know were policemen. So they, in turn, then went to their superiors and reported this corruption.
These two police officers.
Right. The young man and woman, mm-hmm. Shannon and Danny. They went to the Internal Affairs Division, reported these officers, the investigation that was done, the illegal activities by these officers. And within a half an hour, their anonymity and their identities were revealed to exempt-ranked members of the department who, at that point, were bosses of the people that they were investigating.
So these two officers were on this task force. They're on a joint task force.
Right. They didn't know about who they were going after, though.
Right.
I'm sorry.
But they were on it. They were working. They were already working with the feds,
right, on a narcotics case.
And so, as they were working with the feds on a narcotics case, they realized that these are cops that they're investigating. They go to their bosses in the police department, say, "Hey, by the way, now was that protocol? Are they doing that out of professional courtesy? Why would they go to them in the first place? Do you think
the rules and regulations of the department say once you become aware of any illegal activity or corrupt activity by an officer, you have to report that corruption or illegal activities to a supervisor prior to the completion of your tour duty that day?
Okay, and did the task force people, did the feds know that the police officers were going to go over and do that?
I think that. You know, I can't answer. I don't know.
That's interesting, because that's an interesting
I don't know. I would assume they would have, because their investigation being what it was, they had to tell them that we were going to go to the Internal Affairs Division and obtain a confidential number, which means that nobody knows that this is going on. Nobody knows that there's going to be an investigation, and the anonymity of the officers being accused and the officers made the complaint, nobody would know who they are.
You know, it became a whistleblowing lawsuit that they felt that they were being retaliated against and that kind of thing. But in the media headlines and the discussions that we've been having, it's more about this code of silence, the thin blue line or whatever you want to call
right.
it, that police officers will cover for the bad actions of other cops. And even if they're really, really bad, as they were in this case, Shannon's case, and they were shaking down drug dealers and doing all kinds of illegal things and taking money and that kind of thing, that you wouldn't be protected if you blow the whistle. But I guess there's a $2 million settlement now moving forward based on what you know about the police department. Do you feel that there's any sense that that'll change in any way?
Well, the way Mr. Patton said it or implied.
Mr. Patton being
the corporation, head corporation counsel.
Right.
That now that officers will feel free to come forward knowing that the city would back them up. Well, I don't believe that, and I don't think any officers out there would believe that, because for 4.5 years they fought this entire corruption investigation, and these two officers were suffered unmeasurably, locked, you know, put in rooms with no windows, no phones, and sit there, you know, as an example. And bosses telling them, you know, my God,
and
I don't.
They did nothing wrong, right? I mean, they were never accused of criminal activity.
Not at all. These people,
she
they had exemplary
reviews,
records.
Right?
They had exemplary records. Their performance reports and everything were excellent. And all of a sudden, after 16 years of being a good policeman, now all of a sudden they backdated things and said, you're a bad policeman.
Now, the Office of Internal Affairs there, though, do they, how supportive was that office within the police department supporting these two officers?
Within a half an hour of them reporting it to the IAD. Person in charge of IAD, he had already told the commanders of the people that they were that were being investigated, that these two officers were IAD rats.
So the retaliation, they would say,
instantaneously.
Began immediately.
Instantaneously.
And I know the Department of Justice is also looking into the police department to mandate changes potentially for the future to try to clean up the things that are wrong. Is this part of it, this code of silence?
And absolutely. And Lori Lightfoot, who you've spoken to,
on the
who
show.
Did the mayor's, was the mayor's task force, mm-hmm. had said, number one, you get rid of the IPRA. Also, I believe that you have to revamp the whole internal affairs division. When I was there, we had locked files where confidential files were kept in the lieutenant's office and in the deputy superintendent's office. Nobody could get at them. And if you ask questions about some case that somebody was working on that was confidential, mm-hmm. you'd be moved. They would move you to someplace else because, you know, my best friend is a lieutenant. I'd ask, hey, what's going on? Such, you don't need to know.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. And I wouldn't want people asking me about cases that I worked on because you never know who's going to say something. You know, lawyers are corrupt. You know, they won't squeal on each other. Doctors, dentists, it's not just policemen. But what you want is an ability, and Ms. Lightfoot said this, an ability for policemen to have a place to call or contact where their anonymity will be protected and they will report corruption. And we're talking about corruption like there's a lot. Probably you don't have 1 out of 1,000 officers that'd be bad. You know, every officer, and I don't care how good you are, you're going to make a mistake.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. An unintentional mistake is fine. Something on purpose is
well,
bad.
This is a different situation, too. These cops that eventually did get convicted and served jail
two
time.
Of them, two of them. Eight of them are still out there. Eight of them that were involved in this thing, some of them have been promoted. Some of them have been made, you know, in the exempt positions. So you have.
Exempt, for those who are not familiar with that would be bosses.
Bosses,
who
are, right. So you have. There were 10 people all involved. Two took the fall for everybody else and got a couple of years. What about the others that were out there that nobody went after?
And these were guys who were shaking down gang, basically shaking down drug dealers and gang leaders.
Extorting money. They were stealing the drugs from these guys, giving it to their guys so they could sell drugs. Arrest the competition. Plant dope on people, you know. I mean, is it the one guy was just let out after serving 10 years because Watts and them planted dope on him? But this guy did 10 years, and he admitted he was a drug dealer, but he didn't do it on that day.
So, back to the grander question here: is the Chicago Police Department better off today than it was yesterday?
It is better off today than it was yesterday because of what happened today. Now, the mayor, Eddie Johnson, and the department have to find a way to make it easier for officers to, A, protect themselves, and, B, to serve the community better.
Well, isn't that the big issue right now? It seems to me that morale in the Chicago Police Department is drastically impacted by external forces. There are some internal forces at work here too, and there always have been, right? I mean, it's
yes.
You know, you talk one thing that you talk to a cop, one thing he hates more than or as much as the, you know, the knuckleheads on the street that he or she has to deal with, but it's their bosses too. I mean, there's enough, it's enough goofiness that goes on internally, right?
If you sure. can't trust your frontline boss, which I would say is a sergeant, who's the guy you deal with every day, you have a problem. And you have 40, 50, 60 people shot on weekends, 4, 5, 6, 8 killed, 46 in or 40, might be 50 in May, 48 in April. It's out of control.
Yeah.
And they're working overtime because there aren't enough officers to cover all
the shifts. Well,
sure,
they say, well, we need you to work. And we take policemen. They used to take my gang team from way up north in Rogers Park and send us down into Englewood because they were worried about that.
Mm-hmm. And you're seeing stuff also happening downtown, which is the one thing that, where the city gets very, very nuts about this, because they start to impact when you start to deal with stuff that is happening between Oak Street or North Avenue on the north and Roosevelt on the south and the river on the west. You're dealing with the Central Business District. You're dealing with the drivers that make this economy profoundly good, which mm-hmm. is, you know, tourists and conventions. And if people don't feel safe in the hotel district in downtown, then they won't show up here. And we need them to come in here, drop their money and leave. Right. That's how big cities operate.
If I could say one thing.
Can you hold on 1 second for me, Pete? And we'll come back on the other side.
Yes, sir.
Hold on to that thought. Whatever thought you have in your head, hold on to it. And we'll get that on the other side of Violetta Powdermedic with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
Weekday mornings 4 to 10, it has everything you need to know and some things you just need to see. WGN-TV Morning News, Chicago's must-watch morning news.
All right, we're talking to our inside guy, Sergeant Pete.
We got a guy.
We got a guy. Everybody's got to have a guy. And Sergeant Pete is a former, how many years were you on the job?
38.
38 years, Chicago Police Department, some of which were in internal affairs. And and so that made you very familiar with this case that is top story today in Chicago. These two Chicago police officers who were about to go to trial this morning against the Chicago Police Department for being hassled and harassed in their job for turning in crooked cops have settled their case for millions of dollars. But will that actually help the city? Now, the other issue here with the city is what's happening with the, as you point out, Pete, all of the crime and all of the shootings and all the things that are happening here. And now it's starting to affect downtown. So I was asking right before the break, as it's affecting downtown, the Central Business District, I mean, what keeps us from turning into Detroit?
What I know, my doctors are at Northwestern. When I come downtown and my friend has a business in the 900 building, if I walk from Chicago Avenue to Erie, you'll see four police officers almost on every block. If you had four police officers on every block in Englewood, you wouldn't have the murders that are and the shootings that are going on. But we don't have that, this crime that's on Michigan Avenue is basically non-existent except for purse snatching, pocket picking, and things like that.
Well, you're starting to see some stuff overnight. You're starting to see.
Now it's starting to get bad. Now, yeah. You know, they're chasing a woman and gets, unfortunately dies on Huron, people getting stuck up, people pulling guns and things like that. It's starting to get worse. But this is when the police are, during the day when most of your tourists are out there, you have young police officers probably just out of the academy on those streets,
yeah,
and
a
regular group of officers that are assigned to bike patrol and foot patrol on Michigan Avenue to protect the people that are here, plus the visitors, plus the people that work there.
Yeah, we don't need it. We do not need a tourist getting hurt.
No. Oh, my God, no.
Yeah. But I thought it was so sad leading up to the Memorial Day weekend. I saw a story, and I wish I could remember who did it, but they showed pictures of a bunch of kids in Englewood on the west side, and they said, which one of these kids won't make it through the Memorial Day weekend? And it's sad that when you look at the stats, 61 people shot, 6 killed, and that's considered a good weekend because last year there were even more killed.
Oh, yeah. There were 12. I think it was 12 and 40-something. There were 12 kids. You have a 15-year-old girl on Lakeshore Drive driving with a 28-year-old guy that's an ex-convict gang member. It's 1:30 or 2:30 in the morning. She's shot dead. Now they're shooting you on the Eisenhower. They're shooting you on the Stevenson.
Our own guy, our producer, had a gun pulled on him 2 weekends ago on Lakeshore Drive.
No apparent reason.
Right.
Right.
Car pulls up next to him and pulls a gun.
Right. I mean, these kids may think it's funny, and they may think it's a joke, but it's not anymore. Yeah. I mean, it's to the point where I think that if the mayor and Ron continue to fight, Ronner, just to spite the mayor, will turn the National Guard into this. Because if you have a couple of bad weekends in June, July and August will be horrible. He'll put the National Guard here.
Thanks, Pete, for giving him an idea.
All right. There's been a lot of pushback on that very there has issue been. For a lot
yeah,
of reasons.
Yeah. All right. Sergeant Pete, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
He's our guy right there.